This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Weekender Extender here on Joy 94.9. You're with Hannah, Dan and Shannon. Resisting the urge to say Han, Dan and Shan. That's never going to happen.
No, well, you just did now. So it's out there and it's now going to become part of the lexicon. I'm going to do it again.
Very awkward. We are joined with another Anne, with Rowan from Get Up. Thanks for joining us, Rowan.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, just to ask firstly, how are you feeling about Saturday's election?
Well, I guess we got what we thought we were going to get. The polling was saying that we were going to get a coalition government, and we did get one. The really interesting thing was what happened in the Senate. They didn't get enough numbers to have a majority in the Senate, so it does mean that there'll be some checks and balances against some of the legislation that they try and bring through. So that's probably a good thing, but very, very interesting election night.
Absolutely.
Given that your campaigns recently have not necessarily aligned with the Abbott government, do you think that this now calls for a change of plan from here onwards? Do you think your tactics will now have to change slightly from the way you approach?
No, if anything, we just need to try harder. We're going to have a few very big fights in our hands. Obviously, the coalition said that they want to scrap the carbon tax. We believe that there should be a price on carbon, obviously. The coalition's against marriage equality. We are for marriage equality, obviously. There's a few things that we need to be fighting them on. So it just means that we'll have to campaign even harder, especially now that the Labor government is in opposition. There's not many of them there. So, you know, if anyone's going to be doing the arguing, I think it's going to have to be Get Up.
Yeah, and we've got a tough 3 years ahead on that front. Now, one of your, election objectives for this year was making sure that there wasn't a power imbalance in the Senate.
Yep.
Given that the way the Senate is looking at the moment, we've got kind of a lot of minor parties in there. What are your reflections on how the Senate's currently looking?
Well, it's going to be messy. You know, we're not going to know really what happens with people like Sarah Hanson-Young, the Greens in South Australia, for a couple of days because the preference flows are still being worked out there. But it is quite clear that the coalition does not control the Senate, and they will have to get things past a lot of minor parties, which will take a lot of negotiation and a lot of skill. But that's a good thing. I think it can be done. I think the worst outcome would be, as I said, if the Senate was a rubber stamp and the coalition could just pass whatever laws they want. Because you remember, that's how it got work choice last time, is when John Howard had control of both the House and the Senate, and they could just put through whatever they wanted.
Which, of course, kick-started the Get Up initiative.
Right.
What are you thinking now of compulsory voting? Because we've had so much success with minor parties in the election. Do you think that we would have had a different result if we had voluntary voting in line with other Western democracies?
Look, Get Up supports compulsory voting. We think that that being part of democracy has rights and responsibilities, and one of those responsibilities is to vote. What you'll find when we don't have compulsory voting is it's normally the most disenfranchised people who don't get to vote. It's the poor, and it's the people who really do need to be having a say in what sort of government we have. So we do support compulsory voting. I think the reason why you saw so many minority parties getting support is because people are really sick of the major parties. They're not representing the views of mainstream Australia. You know, they're pandering to a marginal seats in Western Sydney and Western Brisbane, southeastern Queensland, rather. And they're not reflecting most of us. And people are saying, well, I want a better choice. I want to choose somebody a bit different. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that, you know, if there are lots of voices in there, then you're much more likely to represent everybody.
Do you not think if we had voluntary voting that might force the political parties to maybe release things sooner to the public, say they'd release their budgets sooner, as opposed to what happened with the coalition releasing their budget, say, 2 days before the election?
No, I think if we had voluntary voting, what you'd end up having is a situation like America, where, you know, George W. Bush was the first president to be elected by a minority of people. Less than half of Americans turned up to vote who should be voting, you know. And I think that's undemocratic. People aren't having their say then. So I think it was appalling that the coalition didn't release their policies, but I don't think the two are related.
Congratulations on getting over 6,000 of your members out to polling booths over the weekend. Congratulations on that. That's a really good result. How have your efforts compared to the last election back in 2010?
It was so much more. It was extraordinary. You know, we had 800 polling booths that we covered. That's almost double than the ones we covered last time. And the feedback was fantastic. We were giving out scorecards to people that were sort of rating the various parties based on their position on certain issues. And I went to about probably 10 booths around Melbourne while on Saturday, and the feedback that I got was amazing. People really valued the information because it allowed them to cut through the spin and to see what the parties actually say.
Absolutely. And one thing I did notice, because I guess I sort of started getting correspondence from GetUp in about 2008 or something, and my perception of that was that it was a very youth-aligned organisation and that it was a youth activism. But you had people out there on Saturday. I think the oldest person out there was about 93. How have you found that, I guess, GetUp has expanded into speaking for everybody, not just that youth demographic?
Yeah, well, it's not just young people who are progressive, you know, and our biggest demographic is actually women over the age of 50, if you can believe that. So there is a perception that we are a youth group, but in fact, that's not the case.
That's not a damaging thing, though, is it? I mean, that's great. I mean, a lot of the time organisations are striving for a more youth-oriented. I mean, just look at the parties this year in the election campaign. They were desperately trying to appeal to the younger voters. I mean, you're appealing to a youth group without even trying to. That must be a good thing and valuable.
Well, we welcome everybody, especially young people who are learning about politics, and we think that GetUp is a great way to get involved. If you don't know a lot about politics, we try and give you the policies, and we try and explain to people, you know, who stands for what. You know, we're not about parties, we're about policies, and that's why I think young people, particularly who are learning about politics, embrace GetUp the way they do.
Now, this election, we kind of saw the press step away from their position as fourth estate or watchdog, and they became quite active as a political entity in some areas. You also had one of your ads, which was about the Murdoch's press coverage of the election campaign censored by the press. Do you think this press involvement is something you'll have to focus more closely on in the future?
Yes, it is. And we've actually already started the discussions with key politicians about this. We think the laws need to be changed. What happened was that we had an ad that was critical of Rupert Murdoch's newspapers, the Daily Tally and the Courier Mail particularly. And both 7, 9 and 10 refused to air it. 9 ran it for a couple of days and then dropped it, but everybody else said no, they're not going to run it. And we think that given the fact that television stations use the airwaves, public airwaves, to broadcast, they have certain responsibilities and they shouldn't be able to play chief censor. So we're going to take that up and try and get the laws changed or an amendment to the Broadcast Services Act.
Considering all political parties have access to the same airwaves, it makes sense that your organisation should be given the same treatment.
I was reading through some of your values, Rowan, and a little bit of it sounds... I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, all right, if you can't tell if I'm smirking as I say this.
Okay.
But a little bit of it sounded... just a bit like policy. Can we expect to see a get-up party perhaps coming?
No, never. absolutely not. certainly. We believe in what we call the outsider theory of change. You know, you're much better off being outside critiquing and not being dependent on you know, government funding, for example, or being a political party. So we would never do that.
Without then being influential from the inside, how do you find it is most effective to try and influence and keep our politicians in line from as you say, a third perspective?
Well, the trouble is when people sort of get involved in the game, they start compromising, and we need to be absolutely pure on what we say and what we do. So that's why we choose to stay outside the system and critique from outside. Once you get involved, there is a lot of pressure to, you know, look the other way when a bit of legislation comes through you don't like, because you're going to get something else down the track. And we don't believe in that. We call everything as we see it.
What initiatives and where will GetUp be focusing their efforts from here on? And what can people do to get involved and support them?
Well, we're going to be focusing on keeping a lot of the progressive things, the wins that we've had, in place. You know, we've got a price on carbon now. That's essentially if we're going to deal with climate change. The coalition wants to scrap that, so we're going to fight them on that big time. We're going to be, you know, pushing for marriage equality. That's another thing that's really important. We're going to be pushing for the protection of the Great Barrier Reef. We're going to be pushing for the maintenance of the mining tax. The coalition says they're going to get rid of that. Now, that's ridiculous. Why should Gina Rinehart pay this tax? That's crazy.
Yeah.
These are the things that we'll be fighting. And if you want to join the fight and you want to learn a bit more, you can go to our website, which is www.getup.org.au.
Very good. You're not a not-for-profit organisation, and you're funded. You don't take any donations from government or political parties. You're funded entirely by small donations from members of the public, aren't you?
Yep, the average micro donation is about $40, and we prefer it that way. You know, we have a saying that, you know, if somebody gives you $100, they're a supporter. If they give you $100,000, they're an owner, and we don't want owners. You know, we just want small donations. And that's how it works, and it works great.
And that's another way people can get involved. So that's a great organisation, and it's fascinating watching your work, and we would say keep up the great work. Thank you so much, Rowan, of Get Up, for joining us this morning. Really, really interesting interview and a great perspective on the election that it's just been.
Yes, thank you.
We will talk to you. We'd love to speak to you again, if possible, about how things unfold into this new era that we've entered. We're going to go to a track appropriately entitled In a World Like This. This is the Backstreet Boys. You're just with Hannah and Dan on Joy 94.9.
Lighting the mood here with the Backstreet Boys.
Is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.